Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, we're new fans of Wally Funk here on the show.
This woman, man, she's famous, Jason.
Famous. Keyword woman.
Woman.
Brad just said it.
Yeah, but see, like, this, apparently this is a hot thing, man.
She went up with Jeffrey, what is it, Brad? Is it
I got a
Bezos.
Correction from Mark Giannato, our fellow resident Washingtonian.
Bezos.
It's Bezos.
Jeff
like
Bezos.
A bay. Bezos.
And Wally Funk, an 82-year-old woman.
Wally Funk.
Woman.
Wally
pilot.
Funk sounds like a my neighbor.
Sound like she did this song.
She kind of does sound like she could have been
in
Earth, Wind, and Fire with the funk.
So sorry for any of offending that we did of
the
Wally Funk.
It's a hot topic, I guess.
And we're happy she went up.
Yeah,
and
good for her.
About, became the oldest ever.
Good for her.
At 82 years old. And glad that we have put that to bed. I'm going to leave the space travel and the study of it to you all.
100%. You'll hear more from the folks after us, I'm sure, on this space. Apparently, it's a hot topic.
But again, I got black folks DMing me, too, saying they're all into this. So
okay.
Said, Jason, don't make this a racial thing. And I'm not. Right. Y'all just tell me who the first black person go up is. My money's on Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I think Tyson will probably be the one.
Okay. We're moving on.
Thank you. We're
moving on to a story over at the Sporting News that our man Mike DeCourcy, one-time Tigers basketball beat writer of the Commercial Appeal, a Hall of Famer, and a guy I've looked up to for a long time, did a story over at Sporting News again about how tough it is in particular for college coaches to come out of the MEAC. Now, that's the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Uh-huh. I haven't said it in so long, it's hard to say. We're so used to saying MEAC. And that is where Tony Madlock is at South Carolina State, but also the SWAC, the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Those two conferences in particular is where a great deal of the historically black colleges are play. And those are the conferences they are in. And this story is about how tough it is for those coaches. And again, he uses the example, not of Tony Madlock, even though I was thinking about him all through this story, but of Lavelle Moten, who was at North Carolina Central, became the head coach there in 2009. And within 5 years, he made the NCAA tournament. He's been there now for 12 seasons for Lavelle Moten at North Carolina Central. And this is, if I'm not mistaken, it's where he played. So there is a tie other than just this being his gig. There is a tie for him to North Carolina Central. In 12 seasons, though, listen, they finished top three in the conference 7 of the last 9 years. They've been in the MEAC 10 years total. They were independent before that. But 7 of the last 9, they finished top three in the conference. They've won it 4 times, reached the NCAA tournament 4 times.
Jeez.
4 times, okay, in 12 seasons. And you're doing that, again, from North Carolina Central and the NIT once. Here's the deal. He's still there, 12 seasons.
Hasn't left.
And you feel like, right, you feel like in many of these situations, the latter should have been there by now to move up to another job. And Lavelle Moten's talked about being a second pick in at least one instance where he was a second pick, guy didn't work out, was gone after year. They came back around to him, said, "Hey, you want it?" And he's like, "No, you didn't want me the first time, so I didn't do it." But there have been very few opportunities, at least according to Coach Moten, of those bigger schools recognizing, okay, we got a guy who's talented here.
Mm-hmm.
We got a guy who didn't just do it one time at North Carolina Central. Man, he's gone to the tournament 4 times. There's some consistency there, and we know how much tougher, Brad, it is to do when you are in a situation at many of these historically black colleges where, Brad, half the deal is you're just trying to help finance the athletic department.
Right.
And much of the rest of the athletic department by going out
and getting by games, right? Getting getting the bigger schools
Memphis
to pay you $100,000 or whatever it's going to be to help support your athletic department. But you know what's going to come with that is an L.
Right.
And yet you're being asked to go in there, hey, help the rest of our athletic department. And by the way, get the money and go win against a team that you're going to have no chance against. And in many of these cases, as DeCourcy points out, some of these athletic departments and athletic directors want their coaches to, you know, to schedule as much as $900,000, nearly $1 million worth of bye games.
Wow.
Well, if you do that, what's going to come with it, we know, is L's. So how do you get out of your conference if they don't, you know, how do you move to that next job if they don't respect sort of your conference enough that a good record there is going to be the thing that moves you out, and then you're not really having a real chance in hell, not a snowball chance in hell, really, of having a winning record or something in non-conference against these big schools, because those are bye games against opponents who are looking for easy wins. Got it?
Yep, okay. I totally get it.
So it gets tough. Here's the stat that blew me away. Since 2000, and again, remember, we're talking about the MEAC and the SWAC, where a ton of those historically black colleges are, and again, where Tony Matlock is at in South Carolina State. They play in the MEAC. Since 2000, according to DeCourcy, there have been only six instances of coaches working in the MEAC or SWAC accepting jobs in even slightly higher-ranked leagues. Okay? Six instances since 2000. It's 2021. Six instances since 2000. We'll take away two of them because two of them were, in this case, white. And again, nothing against those men.
Sure.
Steve Merfield, who I had not heard of before this story, DeCourcy points out, went from Hampton, historically black, to Evansville in 02. And Ryan Ritter went from Bethune-Cookman to UT Martin in April. But my point is, okay, only four of the six since 2000 that have moved up to even a slightly better conference. Remember, work hard. You'll get it. We're black.
Yeah.
That's since 2000. They are Mike Davis, who you remember Mike Davis from his days at Indiana, okay? But eventually resigned from there and ended up taking a Texas Southern job in 2012, led them to four SWAC tourney titles in 5 years before he ends up at Detroit Mercy in 2019. But that is a case. Again, you go from Texas Southern slightly up. So he counts as one of those since 2000, even though previously to all of that, he had been in Indiana. All right, Sean Woods went from Mississippi Valley State to Moorhead State. James Green, who many of you all probably remember from his days as Southern Miss's head coach back in the day, he went, I think it's from Jacksonville, ended up at Jacksonville State, and then Anthony Evans. The point is, he went from Norfolk State to Florida International. The point is that for only four coaches of color, four black coaches, have been able to move up out of the SWAC or the MEAC since 2000. Only four. And so I applied that to what Tony Matlock is facing, the former Memphis Tiger, who decided this offseason, you know what? I'm going to go take the South Carolina State job. Now, let me give you an idea of where that South Carolina State job is in terms of college basketball. It's last year was ranked 353 out of 357. Mm-hmm. And typically at the bottom of these lists, you find the Mississippi Valley States and the historically black colleges who it is so tough to win. It's so tough to win at because, again, a lot of these cases, you're playing games you can't win. Right, until maybe you're in conference and you've got a good enough team that you win some there.
Yep.
Hopefully, win the league, get in it, get that automatic bid, and go to a tournament. But a lot of times, it's going to be ugly. And that's South Carolina State was one of the worst programs in the country and has been for some time. So think about everything that has to go into that decision if you're Tony Matlock. Okay, like I tell you, perfect world. You know, your folks tell you, your grandparents tell you, but you work hard, you're going to get a way out. But and you're gonna it's gonna be recognized, right? By whether it's in this case another AD at a bigger school who wants to seize the hard work you're doing, he's gonna hire you at another instance. Well, that is not happening at these schools. So to go back to the point, for Tony Matlock to decide to take this gig, which the part we talked about when he did it this offseason was that, okay, well, this is gonna probably be a big pay cut for him.
Yep.
Because the resources won't be the same. You're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to be the assistant coach at Memphis, right? You go over there to where the you don't have a $21, $22 million practice facility. Mm-hmm. You're going to be asked to play some bye games. Now, maybe not as many as some of these MEAC schools that are, you know, 900,000 in bye games. Maybe it's only 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000. But the point is that's going to be on you. Those are scheduled losses. You're going to have to come in to a program that last year won just one game, get this thing turned around, and now let me sell you this dream. You get it done, you make a tournament with your son, and some school will recognize you and come get you, and you can move on from there. Do we really think that's going to happen when the number is four? It's six total, but four black coaches have moved up from that. So think about the sacrifice it takes for a Tony Madlock to say, I'm going to leave. In this case, my alma mater,
yep,
something I know and love, the guy I trust in Penny Hardaway, to go over to South Carolina State, one of the worst programs in college basketball, to a place where I'm probably, at least the numbers say, I'm not going to get out of. I'm not going to do a decent enough job or a good enough job, even if I make the tournament once or twice, to get a job out of, but I'm going to go do it. What makes you say that? What makes you say that this is the opportunity for me? I remember at one point for Raji Phillips, who was at Mitchell and then Whitehaven, went to Vanderbilt. We talked about him yesterday,
sure,
because at one point he was there at Vandy to get Matthew Morrell. That didn't happen. And right now we're wondering, you know, does Penny Hardaway look at him for either a support staff spot, mm-hmm, or on the staff? But go back to the point. Faraji told me that at one point, whether it was me or it was reported, that he had turned down the Mississippi Valley State job. And I thought to myself at the time, your first reaction is, well, wow, that's a college, that's a
yeah, Division
D1
job.
Division One job. You're a high school coach, mm-hmm, who aspires to be a college coach.
Why'd you do it? Why'd you turn it down?
Because you're set up to fail.
Right.
In the end. And these numbers from DeCourcy's story over at Sporting News, and again, I would encourage you guys to go over and read it, are pure evidence of that.
Yep.
That only four black coaches since 2000 have moved up to that better job. And in this case, guys, it's only slightly better. It's only just out of the – you're still at a small conference school in all four of those cases, and you've only had six. That includes the two white guys that, mm-hmm, have done it. But back to that point, Mississippi Valley State, sure, it'd be your first college job. You'd be the head coach. But the likelihood is you would go there and you would fail.
Yep.
And even if you succeeded, Brad – if you succeeded and made a couple of NCAA tournaments, there is no guarantee that there is some athletic director at a bigger school who's gonna recognize the job you've done, mm-hmm, and it's in those tough circumstances and say, oh, there's my I see the skill there and I'm going to hire him. That's not happening. But Tony Madlock decides to do it. You know what it says? It says so much about, in terms of Tony, just what, in Tony Madlock, who spent 20 years as a Division I assistant. You know, Auburn, UTEP, Ole Miss was an interim coach.
Yeah, it was like at high school level, too, at Melrose,
Kennedy,
right?
After Kennedy there for a while. But yeah. But my point, he paid all the dues,
right,
in college basketball, mm-hmm, over a couple of decades, and this is what's there for you, this South Carolina State job, and you take it. Why? Because of how important it is to him to coach his son.
It's not about the money.
Because you're taking a pay cut.
You're taking a pay cut.
It ain't about looking at South Carolina State and saying, okay, there's my way. Because I'm gonna go do what others have not been able to do, only four since 2000. I'm gonna go win big there. I'm gonna move up and get the big job from there.
Yeah.
You can't look at that as the situation because the numbers don't say that. And so you look at the situation, you say, you know what? It doesn't look like Penny Hardaway, or in this case, us, Memphis, mm-hmm, is going to be an opportunity for my son, for TJ Madlock, who we've talked about. Awesome player out of Houston,
yeah,
an absolute dog. You know, Penny's, whatever reason, Memphis decides, no, we're going to go a different direction, and they, you know, didn't take TJ Madlock. So to coach his son, who he would not have had the opportunity to do so at Memphis, and we see how important and how much that can mean to a father. You
sure
see it right there with Penny Hardaway when he's coaching Jaden. He's talked about how special a thing that is, right? Tony Madlock willing to take what in many respects is probably going to be, likely to be, a dead-end job just to coach his son. And like I told you, hell, Lavelle Moten has made tournaments. I'm sitting here saying, well, best case scenario for Tony when he took the gig is you go there, your son's fantastic, he's a star in the MEAC, you go for a year or two, he gets you to a tournament or two, right? And you go from there. But Lavelle Moten and others have done that, Brad, and the rope never comes. The rope up, the ladder up to the next opportunity.
The big job.
It doesn't come out of those conferences. And this isn't to say, you know, because look, in the NBA, what seven of the what's the number? I think it's seven of the eight open positions.
Yeah, black coaches
have been black.
Yeah.
That's good in this hiring cycle. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we've had an issue there.
Yep.
And we certainly have an issue whether it's the NFL, whether it's college basketball. Yep. We have issues all over. But this is one to where some of these coaches don't have a choice. I suppose, because there are limited opportunities. And here you again, Tony Madlock had a choice. He could stay at Memphis, keep it nice and cush, right? Got the hundreds of thousands coming in on the job. Penny Hardaway probably going to make a tournament this year. Mm-hmm. You feel like it's only going to get greater. You've added Larry Brown to the staff now. Could have stayed here at your alma mater, you know, finished that in terms of the job, getting Memphis back to tournament, finish that off, see how high you could go it. Or he could go take a pay cut. Maybe go to the last time he'll ever have a head coaching opportunity, because the likelihood is he's not even going to move out, but he'll get the chance to coach his son. He chose the latter. That to me, especially when you see these numbers right there and staring you in the face over at Sporting News and DeCourcy's story, it just, what a sacrifice on his part to get the chance. Because again, like I told you, even if it's best case scenario, Brad, and they make a tournament, say they win the MEAC conference tournament and get that automatic bid, and TJ's fantastic, and hell, maybe he's even newcomer and then player of the year, there is no guarantee Tony going to get a head coaching job from there. The what's more likely is they're going to continue to have to play bye games against bigger schools that hand them L's, right? And that record's going to be tough to turn around. And it's just that whole, what your grand folks told you about, man, you got to work twice as hard to get the same results as others do. It's literally for coaches in the MEAC and the SWAC. It ain't even that. Working twice as hard ain't even getting them those opportunities. So I hope the best for Tony Madlock.
Me too. Yeah.
And I hope that every single second of, because if this is the choice he took rather than the money, I hope that every single second that he is coaching his son is so valuable to him, because there's a good chance that, at least as a head coach, this is going to be it for him, that there is no turning around South Carolina State and making into enough of a power that Tony gets the next job from there. I hope I'm wrong on that, but the numbers say I won't be, so I hope it is special for him, because he's clearly chosen that path, right, that I want this time with my son, that I'm not going to get anywhere. If I stay the coach in Memphis, I'm not going to be coaching my son.
Right.
Right, if I'm an assistant in Memphis, yeah, I got the cush life, but I don't get my son. So I'm rooting for Tony, because again, it's tough.
For
coaches, especially in those leagues. Whereas with, you know, some of these other smaller leagues, man, the coaches are moving up out. Look at how Forbes, you know, Forbes moved up and out from East Tennessee State. I mean, you know, other leagues are getting those opportunities, but for some reason, the MEAC and the SWAC in particular don't get the credit.
I'd be interested in seeing TJ ball out at school.
Remember, he's got like a 45-inch vertical, something
like,
crazy.
Which, yeah. So if you bet on yourself, there is the one thing I can think of that may be an opportunity for Tony is if TJ balls out because of the one-time transfer, and if he wanted to get a better job, he can transfer once without having to sit out, and that might be an opportunity that TJ and his father are presented with. Possibly,
you'd say turn that into a job, bringing you with TJ, you and TJ again.
You both get to go. Like, in other words,
I mean,
like,
that would be, so much would have to go right for that to happen.
That would have to be the perfect
scenario. And TJ would have to be an absolute game changer for an AD to say, you know what,
I want
him so badly that I'm gonna hire you. I hope that happens for him, Brad.
Yeah,
but I was
very unlikely.
When you see these numbers, and again, since 2000, just six and only four of the six black.
Those numbers are tough.
Out of those conferences, it's gonna be tough for Tony.
I'm surprised Moten hasn't bounced. I'll be honest. I remember him being on Gary's show a couple of times.
Oh, Lavelle Moten's super sharp.
He's really good.
So now
I am shocked he hasn't left there.
It's been 12 seasons for him now.
For him not to have left NC Central, I'm surprised he's still there.
Yeah. So,
but you're right. The odds are stacked against you in these HBCUs. There's no question.
Big South power. Winthrop has seen. This is according to the Corsi story. We're wrapping it up. Two of its coaches, Pat Kelsey, to College of Charleston. Greg Marshall went to Wichita State. Radford sent Mike Jones to UNC Greensboro. In the Southland, Bob Marlin was able to move up to Louisiana. Stephen F. Austin sent Danny Casper to Texas State, and Brad Underwood all the way to Oklahoma State. His point is that in these other conferences, like the Southern Conference, Wes Miller from UNC Greensboro to Cincinnati, Forbes, our man, the aforementioned Forbes, went from East Tennessee State to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
They're getting those opportunities from those conferences.
Dudes
because
aren't.
The basketball in those conferences, is it's respected to that point. And let's be real. They're not at these historically black colleges that, you know, for whatever reason, you get this rap of, well, that's not highly competitive. So your record there and your trip to the tournament as a result of winning
right.
your conference
they
tournament.
They dismiss it.
They just dismiss it. And you don't get the look. And you can have all the coaching skill in the world if you're there, if you're Tony Madlock, but you won't get that look because of where you are. It's unfortunate. It's happening. It continues to happen. Of course, he's got a great story about it, of course. Oh, again, like we said over at Sporting News, I encourage you all to read it. I encourage you all to stick with us. We're going to talk to Bobby Marks on the other side of this break. Ask him about tonight's game, game six of the finals. Can Phoenix force a game seven? Also going to ask him about, obviously, though, free agency, the draft as we approach it next Thursday. What should the Grizzlies do at number 17? We'll do all that with Bobby Marks when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's number one sports station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bobby Marks is an ESPN front office insider. We love having him on any chance he's got time. It's a blessing to the show. You can follow him on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
He's also got his NBA roster breakdown, includes which players every team can, won't trade this summer, up at ESPN+. Very useful for any NBA fan or media member trying to keep up with what's going on this offseason. It's must-get stuff. He joins us now. Bobby, before we get to all the free agents and what might happen before the draft, what have you thought about the quality of these finals, at least so far, as we look to Game 6 tonight?
Yeah, I thought it's been high level. I mean, it's been, you know, I mean, two teams that are really evenly matched. I think, you know, certainly the ability for Milwaukee to kind of close out these games, as we saw in game four in Milwaukee, then game five at Phoenix. The big three, I guess, of Middleton, Giannis, and Holiday have, you know, certainly played at a high level, and I'm expecting another close game tonight for game six. Those are always, you know, especially when you're trying to go out and win a championship, this is going to be a tall task for Milwaukee, and there's pressure on both sides.
In terms of the unexpected, has it gone sort of how you thought it would, Bobby? Have guys emerged that maybe you thought you did? For me, I mean, Devin Booker has taken whatever the next step looks like, or turning the corner or whatever. He has proven, at least to me, so much that it's not just he can affect the game in so many other ways besides scoring. So for me, it's him. He's been a real eye-opener. But for you, though, anything unexpected in these finals that have really, you know, opened up your eyes?
I thought this series would have been over. I had Phoenix winning in five.
I hear you. I had them in six.
I just didn't trust Milwaukee enough. I really didn't, you know. So and even with Giannis, the uncertainty with his injury,
right?
The ability for these three players to put a complete series together. I thought we saw moments in the Brooklyn series. We saw moments in the Atlanta series. I just didn't, especially with at-home court advantage. I thought how Phoenix was playing, and I think we saw that in the first two games. I thought – And it could have, you know. I mean, hey, game four, Phoenix kind of finishes them off. We would probably this series would be over. So, I give Milwaukee a lot of credit. You know, it's funny we hear, you know, we're such in this prisoner of the moment society, right? People are now talking about that. Is this team a dynasty? Right? Could they be a dynasty? I'm thinking like, oh my God, three weeks ago they were Kevin Durant shoe size of being eliminated, and Coach Bud was probably going to get fired here. So. They're a really good team, and Phoenix is a really good team. But, yeah, I mean, I think from an individual standpoint, I think how Devin has played, you know, certainly I think Chris Paul is worn down. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen that towards the end of some of these games here. And but Middleton, you know, Middleton's played tremendous. I mean, he is their closer for a reason. And, you know, he's played at a high level.
You touched on Budenholzer, and you're right. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I'm asking the question, it might come up, you know, should we be looking
at... asking that in the Atlanta series, too.
We literally were just in the last series, and there's no question. So to that point, how much of the credit, and especially if they close out, how much credit should he get, especially for those of us that were just asking potentially for his head a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, the goal, you know, for if you're in a front office, if you're evaluating your coaching staff and your head coaches, they put the players in a position to succeed.
Results.
And I think, you know, Atlanta, you lose Giannis, right, to be able to keep that team together, to go on the road and win a big game, get out of that series. And then you go down 2-0 to Phoenix. And to keep this team together, I thought he's made some nice adjustments. They've kind of trended towards putting Brook Lopez on the bench in the fourth quarter and gone more Giannis, I guess, at the five and had Connaughton on the court, who's made a lot of big shots. So, yeah, I mean, he should be getting credit. And I know we could pick apart any head coach out there,
sure.
Right? There's nobody that's kind of perfect out there. I feel like he probably gets a little more scrutinized, I guess. But when you win games and if they are able to win a championship, then he should definitely get some credit, a lot of credit here.
Does this look like a different Chris Paul, at least to you, the last couple of games than what we've seen? I know Kendrick Perkins has used the word swagger. Like, the numbers were decent last game, but the feel and his control of the game was not. Does it look like that's a right Chris Paul right now?
Yeah, he hasn't been able to take over a game.
Right.
And not just scoring. I mean, just the ability. I mean, even game five, there was a pass right off the bat where it was like, whoa, man. Like, it basically led, I think, Mikal Bridges out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it in the game six of the Clippers series. You know, he took over the game. We saw it in parts of games one and two.
Right.
He took over the game here. And I think he's had, you know, I know the turnovers were high games three to you know, games two, three, and four, he's had, you know, last game he was fine. But fine isn't good enough. You know, like, fine isn't good enough when you're at this stage here. And so, yeah, I do think he has lost a little bit of, you know, of his swagger. We'll see tonight. You know, this is a big moment for him.
Okay, Grizzlies this offseason, Bobby. Is there a player at the forefront of your mind? I mean, you've got the whole list laid out. And they've got so many options too, Bobby. So I know we could go through and explore them all. I'm not gonna ask you to do that. But is there a player or a price range, or if you're in that front office, are you more, you know, apt to hey, we're at a point right now where development's most important, so let's stand pat. Is there a guy or a price range in terms of free agency that they could afford that makes a lot of sense to you, or does it make more sense to just see what you got, right? Maybe you pick up Justice, maybe you don't. And roll back out with that. Which way would you lean there?
Well, yeah, I think you hit it the first right on the head, right? The decision with Justice dictates everything,
yes.
Right? So it dictates as far as if you have $24 million in room or you're going to have the $9.5 million mid-level exception and you bring back the same group and then maybe Winslow's used as kind of a as a trade asset because of his contract mm-hmm. here. The market is... It is heavy with guards, right? It's a heavy point guard market. You don't need one of those. It's got a bunch of wings. So you're looking at guys like Tim Hardaway Jr., Norman Powell, Evan Fournier, group guys like that are probably going to cost you between $14 and $16 million. So maybe even a little bit more. So do you need to go out and spend? Are you content as far as what you have? There's not that tier A guy that you know, you're going to go out and spend probably $25, $26 million. So I think you're probably better off running back this the same group. I think health is going to be a big point as far as what, you know, as maybe some singles and doubles in free agency and bring back this group. You've got, I think with your draft pick, you've got 13, 14 players under contract here, and you've got a ton of guys on expiring contracts with Valanciunas, with, you know, Grayson Allen's extension eligible, Jaren's extension eligible. Yep. So there's nothing wrong with being content as far as what you have. It's just a matter of if you're in the front office, is this roster good enough to kind of get you to that next level? And if it's not, then yeah, then maybe you should, I guess, search for, you know, something out there in free agency that might not even be there.
I asked Ryan McDonough this yesterday, and I wonder how you would approach it. If you have number 17, you're looking at Golden State there that's got a couple of picks, right? And a Golden State team that may be looking to deal, because I've made this point with our producer, with Brad, in the last couple of days, that are they really going to draft two rookies when it's time to win now? Might they be willing to do a, you know, swing you a pick in return for a veteran player and maybe a future pick? If you're Memphis, Bobby, you're sitting on that 17 pick, and we know Kleiman has moved around before, would you be looking at what Golden State, would you be on the phone with a Golden State and trying to maybe move up into one of those slots using a Kyle Anderson or someone like that? I mean, I guess how much would you be, you know, possibly looking at making a phone call like that if you're the Grizzlies and in this position?
Well, they've made it well known, Golden State, that they want help, veteran help,
veterans,
as far
right.
as NBA level players to come and either try to bolster this bench or, you know, add another piece to the starting group. And 7-14 probably is not going to get it done, especially that
exactly.
when you have James Wiseman too. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that you should be looking at. The hard part is they don't have one of these big trade exceptions to kind of just take a guy in. They're really top heavy as far as in salary. When you look at, you know, Wiggins, you look at Green, Thompson, Curry, you know, you got to find one of those, you know, $5 to $10 million players in there. So is it something that, you know, makes sense as far as taking 17 to get you to 14? Maybe it's not even, you know. Maybe it's not even, you know, as far as from a big name, as far as going out from Memphis' standpoint. I don't think I'd put that Golden State pick that you got in the Iguodala trade to, you know, move up three spots. I don't think that does it for you. But yeah, those are the type of deals that you're looking at, right? How you can maybe move up if you feel like you are a little bit deep. One of your own guys that you probably have no intent maybe re-signing, if it's Kyle next off season, could get you up three or four spots, or maybe even get you up a little bit further.
Talking to the great Bobby Marks here on Jason and John, ESPN Front Office Insider. Guy we pay close attention to because we're here in Memphis and he played for the Tigers, Will Barton, declined that $14.7 million option. Saw where Woj said I think he put it, strong interest between both sides to get that new deal done. What do you think the chances are that he's back with Denver? Bobby, you think somebody might swoop in? What might that number look like?
I would say this. Whenever you opt out of $14.5 million, that there's something waiting for you.
You know something. You better.
there's always something waiting for you. And I think it's a little bit different than maybe what both Spencer Dinwiddie did in free agency. He opted out and, you know, he's coming off that knee. But his number is a little bit closer, I think, to the mid-level. But I think he'll get more. But, yeah, I mean, I think with Will, I think – when you look at his injury history the last couple of years, it's almost a case where, you know what, maybe I will take a little bit less if I can get more years, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe if I go down from 14.5 to 12, but I can get into two additional years at, you know, $24, $25 million, that probably is the direction I would think that probably makes me more appealing to him.
And then last one, just I covered him in high school, a friend of the show, but Thaddeus Young, who showed how useful he can still be at this age, what is he, 12, 13 seasons in? I don't have it in front of me right now, but was clearly, I think he got the Hustle Award with the Bulls. LaVine talked about how important Thaddeus Young was, not just to him, but to that team. Is there, you know, it might be, and I've talked about this, where you know, he's got to cash in. You know, he's only got so many more years left, so you're trying to make as much as possible. But I just wonder, is there a price for him on a contender? A good situation where he's maybe takes a little less to actually be able to play for a team, a playoff team that's got a chance. It just feels like there's value still there, Bobby, and I'm wondering if he's willing to take a little bit less to win a little bit bigger, you know, at this stage
well,
in his career.
He's still in their contract.
With the Bulls, still, right? Okay.
Yeah.
One
he's
more?
Got a, he's got a partial guarantee, but that's a guy that, you know, in Brooklyn we traded for him, part of that Garnett.
You know him well. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he saved us the last half of the season. He played really well. I thought he had a terrific year in Chicago last year.
Absolutely.
And so that's the type of guy that, like, hey, I mean, it's more of kind of, you know, that stretch four guy that can back up, give you minutes back up five. As far as if you're Memphis, if you're trying to maybe balance out your roster a little bit, where you're maybe moving, you know, that's basically probably getting three teams involved or maybe even two. But that, you know, that's, I'm a big fan of him just because I think he can give you a lot of different versatility.
Always been. And he's all about it. You know, Thad does it the right way. He's been all about his business. You know that well. He's one of the great ones, one of the guys you root for. Bobby, we root for you. Appreciate any time we get a chance to spend with you, Bobby. Thank you for your time today, brother.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thanks,
it was Bobby. ESPN Front Office Insider, Bobby Marks. Go check out his stuff, especially the exclusive stuff over at ESPN Plus, breakdown of all the rosters in the league, who you can't touch. At least for the Grizzlies, the guy he's got on that list, you would know, is John Morant. I did think it's interesting that he doesn't have Jaren Jackson on that can't touch list, because I think at this point in his career, you're still listening. You're still even at this point, because he still hasn't proven the durability part of it.
Yep.
So unlike Ja, I don't think you can put him in that category. If you're telling me that right now you could pull a deal that's got him in it, you know, and I don't know whoever else you got to put in to make the money work with eventually, but you're trying to sell high on Jaren Jackson. You put it together for Beal. You tell me who's not doing that deal for a Bradley Beal or something.
I would
like
do that deal.
Yes, you would. Now, Ja Morant, my point is I think Bobby's right. As glaring as it was to not see Jaren, who we've sort of tagged as franchise centerpiece with Ja, not in that untradeable, untouchable
category.
He's not
in the untouchables,
He's not right now, unfortunately. It's what he's got in front of him to prove.
He may not be
it's a result of that.
He may not be one of the untouchables, but my thought on Jaren Jackson is the Grizzlies don't take a step forward as a team. I don't think I'm telling any secrets here. The Grizzlies don't take a step forward as a team unless Jaren is a different Jaren next year.
Well, because that's the route they're going to go, yes, because they're not going to make some crazy move and dump off Winslow so they can use that money on an upper tier, because number one, it's thin as it is out there, but number two, is that the right strategy? I don't know if it is. Right now, they don't know fully what they have in Jaren, and so that is clearly the way they're leaning.
Yes,
that is clearly the way they're leaning.
There is part of me that
since
thinks
that's the approach, it's the right move.
The part about Jaren Jackson is a little bit of a riverboat gambler mentality, in my opinion, because we haven't seen if he's going to be good. Or if
he was good in the bubble last year. Like
he was good last year, but
flash.
Not this season. No. This season he was not.
No, and you can't. It's just like with Winslow. After a while, you can't keep talking about the one season at point guard he had in Miami where he shot 37% from three because everything else has been bad, bad, bad.
Which I think is a bad idea in general, by the way. Like the Winslow trade, for those who may say that wasn't a good trade, are looking at the recency stuff and they're looking at it closer than when he was good. And I think it's the same with Jaren. Like Jaren needs to be awesome next year, in my opinion. And if you're going to be good or better than you were this year, you want him to be awesome unless you go a different route. And that might be saying, well, we're going to gamble on it. We're going to see if we can sell high with him. You trade him and you use your other pieces and you go get you a Bradley Beal. You do something. And I think, you know, I've heard guys on the station, and I think it's shots at me. Maybe it's because I have a philosophy that they may want to gamble a little bit. But honestly, I don't think that's a dumb idea, because the best scenario that you hope for if you keep Jaren is that he's awesome and he goes
and
back to last
year.
You
have two awesome dudes that you're going to have
and
on
I
their
hope
next
that
contracts.
And I hope
and
that happens.
Have some control for a while.
But there's no guarantee that happens.
No, there's not.
You know what I'm saying? So there's
I think though the feel I get, and you could tell me I'm wrong, is that you are convinced he's not the guy. That what you've seen so far.
No, I
is,
think,
and I think some of the justice stuff.
Good,
I wonder
good
if
point.
The recency, if that sort of goes over into it sort of boils over.
Here's what I say:
because of what happened with justice.
If they don't trade Jaren, I don't have an opinion on if it's right or wrong. I like gambling with house money that I have in terms of value. If you take Jaren, you keep him on this roster. I hope like hell, and I want to see him be awesome, and then I think the Grizzlies will be awesome. That's what I hope. I hope that happens. But it's just like a business. If you know your business is valued at $200,000 or $300,000, but if you don't change it, it'll be worth 150. You may take the 200 instead of waiting to see if you get down to 150.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he gets hurt again. The value's sunk.
It sucks. Because
then you get a tag as that guy. And
yep. And by the way, I don't even see what
the deals, value and everything else.
And the part I can't speak to is what Kleiman's seeing in terms of offers, because they may not be getting those types of offers. I just would think that Jaren's trade value would be high. But if they keep him, look, I am the biggest Grizzlies fan there is.
I still believe he can be that guy down the bubble.
I hope
so. The question is, can you do that for a majority of a full season?
Yeah.
Like, you can still load manage him and all that, realize he's valuable. He's had some knee issues at this point, so you load manage him a little bit. But it needs to be a relatively full season at a relatively high level.
Do you give him the extension now and go $20 million a year?
I go ahead and do it. I try to get it as much of a deal as I can based on the injury history.
You kind of get it down a little bit to 18, 20 mil, maybe.
So I try to protect myself.
That's
but
fair.
I'm absolutely doing it based on what I've seen. And again, I didn't like when they drafted Jaren. I was that guy. Now, he won me over.
Yeah.
I think with some of the special things he does, there's still some fundamental things, clearly,
sure,
like rebounding,
sure,
he's got to work on.
I think he's a great player and has potential.
Well, there just aren't many in the league that are like him at that size, right, that – really, as fundamentally bad as he is defensively with some of the reaching and the frustration fouls and all that, the dude is so athletic, he still gets back and makes blocks, gets back to the point because of how athletic
he is.
That's
true.
If you could put some defensive fundamentals with it, you might have something pretty special on the defensive end. Like, he's got some tools that make him special. I think he's done enough to this point that I'm still invested in that he can be a good to great player
for you.
Right. Yeah. That I'm not ready to make any crazy moves yet. Now, all that said, If Washington wanted him right now in a deal, and you want Brandon Clark too or something, I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
But I still have hope in that Jaren Jackson hadn't just convinced me that, you know, that was a good pick for nothing. That this can still work out
now,
with him and with Ja.
Now, if you're a franchise
and work out well,
if you decide in this offseason you want to invest in him, you should invest in him. Like, you should cut the deal now. That way you're not waiting. You should be negotiating that deal now.
I'm sure they are. I mean, that what they know better than us is because we know the want to and what he tweets in terms of getting back and how tough it was to sit out. But they know the work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, they know how much he wants. They're around him.
Sure.
Right? They know how hard he's going to work to get back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
They know that. And if you know that and you feel good about it, you absolutely should go ahead and get it done.
Yeah.
Hopefully at a nice little discount just because of the injuries.
Right.
You're not going. We've had some bad luck, as we know.
Yeah, we have.
Chandler Parsons, all that good stuff. We don't need any repeats of that. So hopefully you can get it at whatever discounted price you can.
Well, the other thing to that about Jaren is
I'll re-up Jaren.
I realize you were cautious last year. I would hope that you're not having lingering caution injuries either. Like, it's at some point you have to unwrap the bubble tape when it comes to these guys that are on your roster.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Like, don't start the season with him in the coming off the bench next year, saying we're slow, we're ramping
That's
him
no
up.
That's no good. I don't like that at all.
Jaren Jackson's a starter, so if he's healthy enough to play,
put him in the lineup.
Should be in the starting lineup with the other starters.
Exactly.
And everyone else working off of that.
That's what I'm saying.
That was one of the mistakes this year. Yeah. I thought he could have been a little further along if you'd done that sooner. We'll wrap it all up when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
2021 is the summer of sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN. With full coverage of the NBA and the NBA draft.
And Memphis's best players are young.
By the way, best young team in the league, Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes, sir.
The Olympics, college hoops, and grassroots recruiting.
If you go on Twitter, a lot of people are like, that was the game of the summer.
SEC Media Days and the FedEx St. Jude Invitational.
Brooks Koepka is committed to come here.
It's the summer of sports with Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Still outside, they most don't think it's real. Still outside.
Tom Brady back at the White House. How about this? For the first time since 2017, Tampa Bay Bucks, yes, are Super Bowl champions. And, of course, they are visiting the White House and with President Joe Biden. Looks like Brady's been dropping jokes.
He's got material. You want me to play this?
Yes, yeah, let's hear Tom Brady at the White House.
We got on a roll. Not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And, in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
I understand that.
Yeah. And personally, it's nice for me to be back here. We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing. And they started calling me Sleepy Tom.
That's the clip.
That is so funny. They started yet.
Classic.
Last time me and John both were in here, I remember we talked about that moment here recently. And remember Tom Brady and guys like me saying after that game that, oh, it's over. He's over the hill. Guy can't even remember what down it is. He going to use that story till his dying day. He loves folks doubting him. And to show you that, and then he even uses the moment there.
Biden's response, I understand that.
Yeah. The 40% thing was hilarious. Biden understands it. I don't believe he should be there.
Yep.
You didn't win. Appreciate our guests today, the great Jessica Benson, of course, and the great Bobby Marks. Stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. That is up next. You should be locked in. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.